Part 27, Chapter 8. Lord Schleem felt there would be no diamond and slash beacon in the picture that would, in a moment, be shown. Only Tolnep eyes would ever detect that, and only a Tolnep-modified picto-recorder could film it. He would use this moment to distract the others. Yes, that was a whine in the sky. The fleet would be over them in moments. The timing was just right. How clever of him. But he had a well-deserved reputation as a slippery diplomat. Formidable, in fact. He walked over to his chair, made very sure his hamper was well within reach. He glanced back at the assembled emissaries. They were all craning forward tensely, waiting for the picture to come on, totally off guard. He spotted exactly where the devil was standing, slightly in front of them all and well clear of the projector. Schleem fingered the bottom ring of the scepter.
"Turn on the latest picture of your fake model,"
jeered Schleem. Johnny hit the buttons. Off went the mind spotlights. On went the three-dimensional picture of Assart. It was a new angle. It showed the back side of the moon as well as some of the front. Filtration gave it a bluish hue, but it was Assart. It seemed to float hugely before them. And right there in the center, massive and unmistakable, was the diamond and slash insignia of Tolnep, jet black on the surface of the moon. Schleem gasped. It was real. That really was Assart. One of the ends of the slash was supposed to point to a hangar door, and even as they looked, that door finished opening. The huge, yawning mouth of a Tolnep-made cavern. The moon had deflated further now. It resembled a blue balloon, with one side being poked relentlessly in. A great pucker that was growing bigger now, and at a more rapid rate. What appeared to be black gases were eddying up to fill the sunken part. And then, out of that yawning hangar, bolted a war vessel. Although it must have been traveling very fast, the enormous size of it caused it to seem to move in slow motion. At least 30,000 tons of Tolnep capital ship was seeking to escape into space. But it was too late. It had already been touched by the pucker within the moon. A whole back section of the ship was gone. Before the fixated eyes of the delegates, the vast space vessel was eaten up from tail to nose, its massive metal turned to gases. Other hangar doors were starting to open. But that was the extent of the picture. One last puff of black gas as the final bit of capital ship was overtaken by disaster. And the recorded voice said,
"This is Lord Schleem."
Schleem screamed. Then he acted. He popped his earplugs shut. He leaped up. He wrenched at the bottom ring of the scepter and, as though it were a machine gun, swept it in an arc from left to right to freeze them all.
"Paralyze!"
screamed Schleem.
"Stand dead! Damn you! Stand dead!"
It wasn't happening fast enough. There was a surge of emissaries away from him, some falling. He snatched the other scepter from the basket. He twisted the bottom ring and swept it all around, taking in guards in rifle pits. They were not falling quickly enough. Schleem dove into the hamper and came up with three grenades. With all his considerable might, he hurled one into the open door of the ops room. He sent another at the bowl entrance. He hurled the third at the devil. Before they could even land, such was his speed of reaction, he had the gun out of the hamper. He lined it up on the devil, square at his face, 30 feet away. With joy, he pulled the trigger. It did not fire. Lord Dom, a bulbous creature from a mostly liquid world, was bouncing to his feet and coming at him. Schleem raised the pistol on high, preparing to bring it down on Dom and splatter him. A Tolnep could physically smash them all. Straight as a sizzling arrow, Johnny threw his knob carry. The hard butt end smashed into Schleem's eye filters. Lord Browl, the massive tree-like emissary who had sat behind him, wrapped Shleem in foot-diameter arms and held him from behind in a creaking vice.
Hold him still!
Shouted Faljapan.
Don't let him touch his body.
With a flick of his wrist, Faljapan snapped a beak-like knife into his right claw and advanced upon Shleem. The Tallnip struggled, but the huge arms held. Faljapan peered with beady eyes all around the steel-like neck of the Tallnip.
Ah,
he said, finally.
There is the half-healed incision.
His knife moved in and began to cut. Gray drops of Tallnip blood oozed from the shallow gash that was being made. Faljapan squeezed the wound, and a fragile, glassine capsule popped out of it. It was intact.
His suicide capsule,
said Faljapan.
All he had to do was strike the side of his neck, and he would have been dead.
He looked reprovingly at Johnny.
Had you hit this with that throwing stick, we would have had no defendant.
It was Johnny's first intimation that all was not going to go exactly as planned, and that all was not well. Faljapan turned to the others now crowding around. He shouted in a squalling voice,
Is it the will of the conference that this emissary be under conference arrest and be brought to trial?
They thought. They pondered. They looked at one another. One said something about invoking Clause 32. Johnny could only think of getting in there and getting the war stopped now. Didn't these lords realize people were dying? And as for Shleem, hadn't they seen him try to use weapons on all of them? But he had collided with the ponderous idiocies for which governments and courts were renowned. There was even a growing whine in the sky. It threatened their own safety.
I move that he be properly tried,
a lord at the back called out.
All those in favor,
shouted another. All non-combatant lords said,
Aye.
The combatant ones said,
I hereby declare,
said Faljapan,
that the emissary of Tallnip is a prisoner of the conference, and is to be duly tried under Clause 32, threatening physical violence to the conference.
That whine in the sky was much louder now. Johnny shouldered his way through. He got right in front of the Tallnip. He pushed a scepter at his face.
Is this what you were looking for, Shleem? This is the real one. The others were just copies we made. Duds, like the rest of your weapons.
Shleem was struggling and screaming.
Get me some chains!
Shouted Faljapan. Johnny came close to the Tallnip's face, but Faljapan was prying in among Shleem's teeth to make sure there were no other capsules to bite down on. The moment that was done, Johnny spoke again.
Shleem, tell your captain up there to draw off! Talk, or I'll shove this radio down your throat!
Lord Dom tried to push Johnny away.
This is a conference prisoner. He may not be communicated with until tried. Clause 51 governing trial procedures.
Johnny somehow controlled his temper.
Lord Dom, this conference is at this very instant under threat of bombing. For its own safety, I demand that Shleem...
Demand?
Said Faljapan.
Here now, those are very strong words. There are certain procedures that must be observed. And you are hereby officially informed that you yourself threw an object at an emissary. The conference...
To save his life!
Cried Johnny, pointing at Dom.
This Tallnip would have crushed his skull!
You are acting, then, as master at arms of this conference? I do not recall any appointment.
Johnny took a breath. He thought fast.
I was acting as the appointee of the host planet, which is responsible for protecting the lives of invited delegates.
He knew of no such procedure.
Ah!
Said Lord Dom.
He is invoking Clause 41, responsibilities of the planet responsible for assembling emissaries.
Ah, then you cannot also be charged. Where are those chains?
A Chinese guard was running up with coils of jangling mine hoist chains. Two pilots followed him with another tangle of heavy links.
Under Clause 41,
said Johnny desperately,
I must demand of the prisoner that he surrender his offensive forces at once.
Lord Dom looked at Faljapan. Faljapan shook his head.
All that can be arranged, per Clause 19, is a temporary suspension of hostilities where warfare threatens the physical safety of a conference.
Good,
said Johnny. He knew he was at risk. These emissaries were not as friendly now. But he would push it all he could. He had to save lives. Not only theirs, but those of any survivors of Edinburgh. He shoved the radio close to Schleem's mouth.
Declare an immediate suspension of hostilities, Schleem, and tell that captain up there to draw his forces off.
Lord Schleem simply spat at them. They were wrapping him in chains now. Somebody had found a spare filter in the hamper and replaced the shattered ones over his eyes so he could see. They had him on the ground, and he looked like a huge coil of hoist chain. Only his face was visible now. His lips were drawn back, and nothing but hisses were coming out of him. Johnny was about to rage at him that if he didn't talk into this radio, the planet of Tolnep would get one big dragon. The thought that this, too, might violate something made him hesitate for a moment, searching for words. Lord Dom accidentally solved it before Johnny could speak.
Schleem, I am sure it will go much easier with you at your trial if you call off your forces.
This was the bit of grass that Schleem had been wriggling to get.
On that condition, and if the captain of that fleet up there will forego his piratical venture and follow my orders, give me the radio.
It was promptly shoved to his mouth by a Johnny who would rather have smashed his fangs in with it.
No codes. Just say, I have hereby declared a temporary suspension of hostilities, and you are ordered to withdraw into orbit remote from all combat areas.
Schleem looked at the faces above him. When Johnny pressed the hidden talk switch, Schleem surprised them all by saying exactly what Johnny had told him to say. But was there a lurking smile on the Tolnep's mouth? Some prearrangement or regulation must be going into effect up there in space. Roger Dieter Snowell's voice came back through the scepter.
It is my duty to inquire whether the emissary of Tolnep is under any physical threat or duress.
They looked at each other. It was obvious that Tolnep naval regulations covered such sudden and otherwise inexplicable orders. Schleem, wrapped to the chin in heavy mine hoist chain, smiled.
May I speak to him again?
Tell him to comply at once,
said Johnny. He didn't want to make an overt threat against the Tolnep planet in this company and at this time. Again, Schleem said exactly what Johnny had told him to say. Roger Dieter Snowell's voice came back.
I can only comply if I am assured that the personal safety of the emissary of Tolnep is guaranteed, and that the conference promises to return him unharmed to the planet Tolnep.
Faljapan said to Lord Dom,
It simply precludes execution.
By Clause 42,
said Lord Browell,
a trial can still be held. It is quite normal. I move we guarantee this emissary's safe return as a personal matter. All those in favor?
The eyes came back, unanimous this time. Faljapan was looking around.
Where is...
The small gray man appeared among them. He took the scepter from Johnny. He looked around at the faces of the lords and then, as they nodded, he spoke into the mic. First, he gave a code word, followed by a peculiar buzz, which seemed to come from the lapel of his gray suit. Then he said,
Captain Snowell, it is certified that the emissary of Tolnep will be returned, physically unharmed, to his planet in due course, but not with any unreasonable delay.
Snowell's voice came back.
Thank you, Your Excellency. Please inform the emissaries that I will honor a temporary suspension of hostilities, and at this moment am withdrawing to an orbit clear of this and all combat areas. End transmission.
Johnny was pointing at the emissaries of the other combatants. They were the ones wrecking Edinburgh and Russia.
Lord Faljapan, I am certain any temporary suspension of hostilities includes all combatants.
Ah!
Said Faljapan. He thought.
We have no guarantee that only Tolnet ships were up there. It would be irregular for these others not to agree.
But the Bolbad, Draken, Hoven, and other combatant lords were pointing at Sir Robert, who was standing outside the ops room.
We agree!
Shouted Sir Robert with an expression of disgust for their delays. The combatant emissaries started to look around for communication facilities. A mob of communicators with mics rushed out and almost knocked them down. With a spatter and batter of many tongues, the other combatants ordered a temporary suspension of hostilities for all their ships. Good God, thought Johnny. All this while men went on dying. It was still very touch and go. No one had said hostilities would not be resumed, and with even greater ferocity. And who was this small gray man who exerted such power over them? Where did he fit in? Who was he? What would he want out of all this? Another threat?